Take notes. I titled the message after a couple of brothers. I thought about them and I can't got a title for the message, called A Tale of Two Turkeys. A Tale of Two Turkeys. If you take notes, that's what it is. It's Psalm 50. There's four words. 50:14, offer unto God thanksgiving. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Before we look at our text this morning, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to walk amongst us. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving for these four words, and we ask you now to open up our hearts and our minds, walk amongst us. And if there's one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, we pray that today might be the day they come to know the captain of their salvation. We pray, Father, that you would walk amongst us and bring comfort where it's needed, conviction where it's needed. But most of all, Lord, walk amongst us and catch our hearts on fire with the message, that we might leave this place with an application that we can use in our life or share with another. We know your word goes out and never comes back void, and so we're thankful for that. And we ask you now to help us in understanding your word and finding applications that we can use in our life. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Tale of Two Turkeys, a little play on words, yep, and believe it or not, the title is appropriate at this time of the year because it describes the two traditional meals that will be served across America this Thanksgiving. For those in Christ, they will feast on turkey and all the trimmings that go with it, and they will also enjoy and be blessed by knowing that Thanksgiving is about God and the bread of life, which God gave for us. While those who reject the biblical Christ will have a meal that's nothing more than picking the meat off a dead bird's bones. That's all that Thanksgiving is for most Americans, unfortunately. You see, not giving thanks to God is the tail of the first turkey. That's what Thanksgiving is about. It's about God. The Thanksgiving most Americans celebrate is nothing like the Thanksgiving the pilgrims celebrated. That's where it all came from. In many ways, Thanksgiving in America today isn't really much more than a pagan holiday, as Christmas is with Santa Claus, as Easter is with the Easter Bunny. Pagan holidays has nothing to do with God in their eyes. And I say that about Thanksgiving especially, first of all, because the term Thanksgiving implies giving thanks. And that begs the question, who should we thank? Who should we thank? If we're following the pilgrim's method, which we are, of celebrating Thanksgiving, we should thank God for all the blessings he's brought into our life. It's a great time to recollect. You're sitting down maybe after dinner and before you take that little nap to think about, Lord, look at all the things you did for me this year. Look at how you touched my life. Look at how you touched my neighbor's life. God, I love you so much. Thank you. And that turkey was great too. And even you knew that turkey. It's wonderful. When America was a Bible-believing country, and we were, this country was founded by biblical men, and they believed in the motto, in God we trust. They didn't just say it, they believed it. They had to believe it, or they wouldn't have survived. In God we trust. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. In God we trust. Friends and families gather together. They had a meal when America was great, not to coin a political term, but at one time, America was great. It was a wonderful country to live in, and I lived in a prime part of it. They gathered together, we had a meal, and acknowledged the blessings that God had given his people. America did that. Most of America did that. I remember when there was America was a God-loving country where there were blue laws in place, and the purpose of that was to honor God. One day a week. We'll just take one day, Sunday, close everything down that has to do with the spirits, the evil spirits, I might add. Close it down for a day. What's the big deal? In a sense, in a very real sense, Thanksgiving was a day of family worship. You did it around food. Now, food is a big deal in the Bible. The Bible's filled with different connotations about food. And it's a celebration of God and all the bounty that he fills us with. Oh. But when the Industrial Revolution began, that was the beginning of it. When it began, Americans began to fall away from the truth of Scripture. Why? They had money. They had time. Now it was time. What is that? Idle hands or the devil's workshop? Well, he was very busy. His workshop was really roaring during the Industrial Revolution. Why? Because people didn't take time for God. They didn't take time for Bible study, worship, or prayer. And the result of that is that God has been taken out of Thanksgiving, and now it's celebrating a meal. That's what it's celebrating for most of America. A meal instead of the one who made that meal possible. People forget that. And for those of you who say, well, listen, I worked for that meal. Yes, you did. But by the grace of God, you had the health to work for it. By the grace of God, you got the job to make that money. There's not anything that we have that didn't come from God. And which means the people who worship, who are celebrating the meal, means that Thanksgiving has devolved in their eyes. It's devolved from thanking God for his blessings to really just another pagan holiday. That's all it really is in America today, a pagan holiday. It's a day off from work. It's the Macy's parade. I guess they still have that. I don't watch that stuff. Football games. And I love this one, Black Friday. Boy, is that really appropriate today. Matter of fact, man will invent any reason to celebrate Thanksgiving as long as God is not part of it. That's why today God is not the theme of Thanksgiving anymore in most American homes. That pilgrim tradition was lost when America exchanged the glory of God for a bird. Paul explains that transition. It's happened before. In Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, and America knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but becoming vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. So my question is, rhetorically speaking, why do the lost celebrate Thanksgiving at all? Why do people outside of Christ who don't want to know anything about God, why do they celebrate Thanksgiving? They're not thinking or thanking the Lord for his blessing. Why in the world are they celebrating it? That's what it's supposed to be. Thanksgiving. That's what the term implies. What are they celebrating? Are they celebrating the pilgrim's landing? Well, guess what? God made that happen. Are they celebrating the fact that the Indians didn't kill them, but instead God turned their hearts and they gave them blankets and took care of them and fed them and showed them how to get along in our country? Did he do that? God did that. Are they celebrating that? Are they celebrating the founding of America? Well, God made that happen too. Are they celebrating the greatness of America? God did that as well. This country is great because of God, not because of men. God put the men in to do the job that he wanted them to do to make America as great as it was. And for people in this day and age to say, make America great again, when America has devolved into a place that I don't even recognize. Now, I know I'm old, but I'm very lively. I have a mind of a 50-year-old. Well, the body doesn't match it, but that's okay. And I'm telling you that the world today is not the world that I remember when I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. When I say make America great, I'm not referring to anything political because that's a bunch of baloney to me. I'm saying that this was a great country at one time. It stood for something. Anything made in America outlasted anything made anywhere else in the world. Why? Because we took pride in what we did. So why did they give up Thanksgiving? Why? What are they celebrating? Listen, my point is, if you take God out of Thanksgiving, if you take him out, what's left to celebrate? What's left to celebrate if God isn't in Thanksgiving? And since much of America has rejected Jesus Christ, then why are they celebrating Thanksgiving? Why? I don't get it. I know I'm not the smartest, sharpest knife in a drawer, but I don't get that. And if they're not thanking God, then who are they thanking? I've been in loved ones' homes, my loved ones' homes on Thanksgiving, and they say prayers. I don't know who they're praying to, but they say prayers. I dare say the irreverent and the ungodly give thanks to no one. They really aren't. And for professing Christians who claim Christ in name only, counterfeit Christians, in which the evangelical church today is filled with them, their prayers and thanksgiving never hit the light fixtures. They never get any higher than the light fixtures. As a matter of fact, God says, if you're not walking with me, Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. He says that their prayers, in 1 Corinthians 10:20, he says that their prayers go to the devils. Here's what Paul writes. The things with the Gentiles sacrificed, and the Gentiles were the people that didn't know Christ. The things that the Gentiles sacrificed, they sacrificed to demons and not to God. He knows what they're saying. He hears them, but he's not going to act upon them. It's for these reasons I tell you that Thanksgiving today for most of America is just another pagan festival. That's all that it really is. It's a godless holiday that celebrates the meal rather than the one who provided it. That's what it boils down to. And I think Paul's comments on counterfeit Christians in Philippians 3:19 applies to most people today who profess Christ but don't live for him and celebrate Thanksgiving in America. Here's what he wrote. He says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in the shame with minds set on earthly things. There's no Thanksgiving if you don't know Christ, if you don't know God, the biblical God. I don't mean the God of your imagination. God gave us a Bible. It's inspired. It's not rocket science. It's very simple to understand if you look at it with the mind of Christ. And if you don't have that, then what in the world are you celebrating Thanksgiving for? What is the purpose of that? Now, if you're listening to me right now and you don't know Christ as your Savior, let me just add one more burden to your heart. The Bible makes it abundantly clear. If anybody leaves this realm and goes into the eternal realm, that is, leaves this planet and is transferred to the eternal realm, if you leave here in your sin state, you will pay for your sins yourself. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. And that simply means this. God has provided a remedy for your sin. He's provided a blood sacrifice, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And every single human being that comes into this world has the nature to sin. And as soon as they're old enough, they're going to sin. And when they do, they need a blood sacrifice to pay for that. Christ is that blood sacrifice. God makes it abundantly clear. I don't care if you're good if you're as good as Mother Teresa was, it ain't right. God says your righteousness are as filthy rags. You need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to tell him that you need him to save you and that you want to repent of your sins. And in repenting of your sins, that invite him to into your life to live. And the reason is because we're all sinners. There's not one of us here. All of us that are saved, we once were in the same boots as you were in. But we came to Christ. He called us. We came. We gave up our sins. And by the way, to give up your sins just simply means that, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it your way now. My way isn't going to help me in eternity. Your way will get me through this life and into eternity. If you want to know Christ as your Savior, you call me or you see me after the service, and I'll show you in his word how he wants to show you what thanksgiving is really about, because you have no idea what the difference in your life will be. The upgrade in your life will be more than you can imagine. Why? Because now God is for you, not against you. The wrath of God has been removed from you. And all you have to do is repent of your sins. The same thing your mom asked you to do when you were a kid. You know, John, what you did to your neighbor was wrong, to your little friend was wrong. I want you to tell him you're sorry, and I want you to mean it, and I don't want you to do it again. That's exactly what God wants. He wants you to do that. If you want to do that and you want to know what Thanksgiving is really about, you call or see me, and I'll show you in his word what it's about. Now, on the other side of the coin, if you're listening to this, the second tale of the two turkeys is what Thanksgiving is really about. There's two tales to it. First one was the lost. The second one is for those who know Christ. This is the good part. I always have to get through that bad part, because it isn't a bad part. The gospel message of Christ is the glory of the church. And understand this, the church is not here to save people, although people get saved in church. The church is here to teach people. The Bible says in the Great Commission, go out and make disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, making disciples. And what I'm telling you now is for disciples and for the lost, it's the gospel message. And respond to it, even as saved believers. For those who are born again, this Thanksgiving and every Thanksgiving is an opportunity to give thanks to God for all the blessings that he's poured into your life. God is not a stingy God. I don't know if you know that. When he blesses, he doesn't fool around. He puts it on your lap and he pats it down so that it's overflowing, the Bible says. Very gracious. Now our text, and looking at our text, it says, offer God unto God thanksgiving, which means we are to be a thankful people, and we are to express our gratitude to God for all that he's done and for everything in our life. Everything. Ephesians 5:20, Paul backs that up. He says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does all things mean? Without exception. All things without exception. Very, very good way to look at that. Whatever you have in your life or you're going through in your life, thank God. Whether it's sweet or it's bitter, thank God. Why? Because even suffering is given to his people as a form of a gift. Because it's through suffering that we learn how to grow. It's through suffering that we learn what this really means. You can never understand the Bible in its truest form and its purest form until you suffer through it. And you get the comfort that comes with it. And the power of God rests on you when you feel that power. And John the Baptist reveals that everything we have comes from God. John answered, somebody said to him about Christ, he said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. John 3:27. There's nothing we have that didn't come from heaven. There's not one thing. You didn't pick your family. You didn't pick your mother, your father, the color of your skin, when you were going to be born, where you were going to be born. Sometimes my wife and I will watch a documentary and we'll see these people living in the jungles. And here's these poor people living in a jungle day by day, and they ration meat, they're this, that. They never heard the gospel. It's not there. And I said to my wife, that could be you or me, that little kid right there on that television screen. He put you where he wanted you so that you would know him. And if you're listening to this, he put you near something that would give you this message. He knows you. And he wants you to know him. And you are where you are because that's where he put you. And so because of that, I'm trying to give you the reasons why we should be thankful. Because of that, we should be thankful every day for all of his blessings. And what an incredible list of blessings he's given us, right? The gift of forgiveness, Colossians 2:13. I'm going to ask you something. What happens if you don't forgive? You remember before you were saved, there may have been a time you had an angst against somebody, and you didn't forgive him, it was like a canker, wasn't it? Just eats at you. Oh, that person drives me nuts when I think of him. And then all of a sudden you get saved and you forgive them because you're called to do it. And you know what? You have the power to do it because God empowers you to forgive. Because he forgave you, his forgiveness is imputed to you. All you have to do is exercise it. And when you do, forgiveness is a gift that I can't even begin to tell you what that's worth. To forgive somebody and let it go. And even if they don't accept it, I don't even care. As long as you're doing your part, that's all that matters. That's a gift of forgiveness. How about the gift of the freedom from bondage of sin? You're no longer held in bondage to sin. Before you were saved, you were in bondage to sin. There was no getting out of it. How about access to God? Romans 5:1, the war is over. In Romans 5:1, it starts right there. We have access to God through Jesus Christ. You never had that before. You might have thought you did, but you never really did. How about the gift of unconditional love, peace, joy, and hope, the fruit of the Spirit? God gives you that. The peace you feel now, it isn't the same as the peace the world feels. The joy you have, the equivalent to that in the world, is happiness. I'm happy. What's the difference? Happiness has to be generated. It's conditional. Joy is unconditional. It's a gift from God. And because he's immutable, our joy is unconditional. I'm joyful regardless of the situation I'm in because I know I belong to him. And he gives me the strength for that. How about being adopted? God adopts us into his family. Romans 8:15 adopts us into his family. The blood of the blood of Christ unites every single saved believer. We're part of a divine family. We're a member of a royal priesthood. God calls us an ambassador to Christ. How about being indwelt with the Holy Spirit? How about being joint heirs with Christ? Galatians 3:29. How about victory over this world? 1 John 5:4. How about victory over death? Death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? How about those victories? How about the gift of eternal life and an eternal home? I go to prepare a place for you. Those are gifts. Those are blessings. Some are now, some are later, but they're blessings that God gives his people. And the list of it is limitless. It goes on and on and on. For these reasons and so many more, Thanksgiving is an everyday event. You may not have turkey and trimmings every day, but Thanksgiving should always be there. Always. And proof first is abound for that. Psalm 26:7, David says, he writes, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. That's one of the things I love to hear when we have prayer here and even in private conversations and in fellowship downstairs. We talk about all the wonderful things, the testimonies of what God has done in our life, how he's delivered us, how he's helped us, how he's comforted us, how he's just everything in our life. And Paul backs that up in Colossians 3:17. It says, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always give thanks. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we're commanded. It's a command to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. He's not making any qualifications here. He's not saying, give thanks when it's good. Give thanks when the gas tank is full, the checkbook is full. All things, good or bad, give thanks. All of which means we are to be a thankful people. And why? Because I don't care what you have, what you don't have. I don't care what you own or what you don't own. You own more than any single soul that's outside of Christ because you own Christ. And he owns you. And that makes you a very, very special person and a very gifted person. And as a gifted person, you have an obligation to be thankful for what you have. Now, it's also important to understand that giving thanks to God is not about being polite. You know, when we're kids, what are you supposed to say? You remember mom telling you that? What are you supposed to say? You didn't say thank you. Got to say thank you, right? This isn't true with God. It's not about words. It's about what's in your heart. You need to have a thankful heart. You don't have to say it. You live it. Your thanksgiving is something you live every day. How do you do that? You shine your light into the world every day. When you do that, you show the love of God in you, and you're reflecting it out. That's what your light is. You're reflecting out God's love to the world. In God's eyes, thanksgiving is a type of sacrifice. I'll give you an example. Psalm 116, 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. It's a sacrifice. Hebrews 13, 15 reminds us, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thanksgiving is a sacrifice. Every time you thank God for something, that's what you're doing. Another attribute of true thankfulness is shining your light onto others. There's a command to do that. I don't know if you know that or not, but there's a command to do that. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I want to tell you something. The worst testimony you have as a child of God is when your light's dim or flickering. And that's because your faith is in that condition. Your light, the intensity of your light is a barometer of the intensity of your faith. The brighter the light, the greater the faith. The greater the faith, the greater the thanksgiving. The greater the thanksgiving, the greater the blessings. The greater the blessings, the better the life. That's what thanksgiving is about. That's what this time of the year is about. Because God makes all that possible. Being thankful and demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit in the way you live your life, people see your love of God when you do that. And his love of you. I mean, if you have something going on and your fellow workers in the office know that you're a Christian and you're a worry wart and you're handling it badly, you're not trusting in God, you're not saying, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here, but it hurts and I'm going to go through it because you put it in my life. Instead of that, you whine about it. Oh, why, Lord? Oh, why did that have to happen? No, there's no whining. You love God, he loves you. If he loved you enough to send his son to die and bleed for you, then how is it he would ever do anything to harm you? If he gave his son for you, he's not going to harm you. What he wants to do is help you. But the flesh always tells us, well, maybe that's not new. Oh, I don't like the way that feels, or that's not good. That's why Paul says you got to die to self daily. Every day of your life, you have to give up a little piece of yourself. And every day of your life, you have to empty yourself out a little more so he can fill you a little more. He's never going to overpower you and say, you know what, I'm just going to tear all of you out and I'm going to fill you with myself. He's never going to do that. He wouldn't do that. He just puts things in your life to make you think, to make you grow. And he does it for your good. That's why you should be thankful no matter what goes on in your life. I had a situation, as you all know, a long time ago. It seems like a long time ago now. And for years, I suffered. Years. But it was wonderful. Because at the end, the blessings were so great, I can't even. I'm still living them. I'm still finding them. It's wonderful. There's nothing in this world that I can think of. And I know a little bit because I've been here a while. There's not one thing in this world that can help you more or give you more than suffering. And this book tells you that it's a gift from God. So when we have a country that's devolving, yeah, we could bellyache about it. We could say, well, I don't like that party or that guy. I don't. Poppycock. God's in charge of it. Rejoice. Rejoice. You got to shine your light. You got to be a living testimony to God's love of you. That's really what you are. Did you know that? When Jesus left here, his spirit took over. He said it was going to happen. Holy Spirit indwells all of us, and we are the representatives of Christ. And our light and the way we live our life is so important. That's why Thanksgiving is a wonderful holiday. It's a wonderful time to be with family that don't know Christ, to tell them why we're thankful. To maybe say the prayer for the meal and just say, Lord, there's so many people that don't know you the way I do, and I love them, God. Would you help them to see you and to love you the way I do? Please, Father, I beg you that in Christ's name. And I watch everybody at the table just bow their head down because you're telling them the truth and they know it. They just don't want to hear it. That's the truth. Let me tell you who gives a perfect example of living for Christ. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you understand? He has a Christocentric life. He understood the principle that Christ died for him, his spirit was living in him, and now he had to live for Christ. I want to tell you something. We do that all the time in this world, and worldlings don't even realize it. How many times does somebody say, well, I think it was in one of these movies where it was Saving Private Ryan, where the guy goes up to the tombstone, and he says to his family, did I live a good life for him? Now, granted, it was a moving movie, okay? It was, but we do that all the time. Parents live for their children. Their children live for them. All God's doing is telling us, give up your life and take my son's hand. Walk with him. Let his blood cleanse you, which it has, and now walk with him and see the upgrade in your life. You'll be so thanksgiving, you won't stop. You won't stop. We also do give our thanksgiving by giving the gift of ourself. Did you know you give your gift, that giving yourself to God is a gift? Hard to believe for some of us, right? But it's true. David testifies to that in Psalm 30:12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I give thanks unto thee forever. And you will. If you know Christ, you're going to be thanking him forever. And listen how Paul put this in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what we got to do. Present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Shine your light. Live the biblical life. Give thanksgiving for everything. Let the world see you know how to handle life. Because you really do. As a Christian, you know how to handle life. How do you know? Because God gives you all the instructions for it. I told you, when we pray for something, we're not changing anything. We're praying to change our attitude, not the situation. And when you change your attitude and people see how you live under duress or under adversity or with bad news, when they see how you live like that, they take notice of it. Why? Because they can't do that. They take notice that you have something that they don't, and that's part of your testimony. No matter how many people in your family are unsaved, the best witness of Christ you'll ever give them is not John 3:16 or whatever you say out of your mouth. The best witness will be your life. Let them see a Christ-filled life if you want people to change in your family. You want God. If you want God to move their hearts, let them see him. Because when they see what you have, they'll measure it to what they have, and perhaps they'll figure out what I have is nothing compared to what they have, meaning you. And time is a gift we give God. 2 Peter, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to give Bible study time. If we don't have time for Bible study, what are we doing with it? You're doing something with your time every day. And who's in charge of your time? Who's controlling your time? You are. I know you got to work. I know you got to sleep, so we can take some hours out for that. But what about, we have something in financing called disposable income. That means after everything is paid, you got a little extra, okay? What do we do with our disposable time? How are we using it? Are we using it on the internet? Are we using it for political things, medical things? Are we using it for entertainment? Have we squeezed God in? Or is he the main attraction in your life? Everybody knows the answer to that. For everything that he gives you, you should remember that your life belongs to him and you serve him. And you don't belong here. You're not a citizen. You may be a citizen of the United States of America, and you may be a citizen of humanity, but spiritually, your citizenship is in heaven. It's not here. And for the record, you're not going to be here as long as you're going to be there. So you should really give more thought to your citizenship in heaven than you do your citizenship here. All right, this is the tale. That's the tale of the two turkeys. One tale of the turkey is the lost. They celebrate a pagan holiday because they don't have God in it. When you take God out of the equation, you have nothing. You have zero. You have a pagan holiday. And for the lost, after Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, because it's a godless holiday, it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And the only thing that will change on the lost is going to be their waste. That's it. Nothing else. But for God's elect, the tale of the turkey is altogether different, because although you'll share a meal with your family and your friends, you may enjoy a football game, or other forms of entertainment, the central point in your Thanksgiving is celebrating the goodness and the grace and the blessing that God has brought into your life. And although right now you may not realize it, but when you leave this world, I can absolutely assure you, when you leave this world, based on God's promises, when you leave this world, you will enter a world that will be so far above anything you can imagine in perfection. As a matter of fact, Psalm 16:11 says, "At thy right hand is fullness of joy forevermore." That's what thanksgiving to God means. Forever joy. Forever thanksgiving. And now even the blessings to know that God is taking care of you. What a wonderful feeling it is to know every night he's pulling that blanket up to your chin and he's just singing you to sleep in your heart with the love that he has for you and the love you have for him. And if you're not doing that, you need to examine yourself as a Christian. You need to ask yourself, why not? Why am I not spending more time with God, with the fellowship of the saints? Because understand this, if you have trouble fellowshipping with the saints down here, how much trouble do you think you're going to have up there? Because that's all you have, is the fellowship of the saints. God loves you. God paid a dear price for you. And he wants you to be happy down here. He wants you to be joyful. Jesus said, "I have come to give you my joy, that your joy would be full. I've given you my peace." That's all blood bought. So brothers and sisters in Christ, enjoy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the turkey, the games, whatever you do. Enjoy it. But celebrate Thanksgiving for God every single day of your life, because what he's done for you, you can't even imagine. Matter of fact, it even says, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard the things God has prepared for them and love him." That goes for now and forevermore. Praise God for the wonderful way he's loved you. Let's pray. Father, we know Thanksgiving is a traditional time, but it is about thanking you. And God, I do pray that as this message goes out, that you would use it to make people more thankful that know you. And for those that don't, Lord, pray that you might use it to draw them to know your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us this year. Thank you for loving us so much you were willing to sacrifice your Son that you wouldn't have to sacrifice us. God, thank you. We can't thank you enough. But we can thank you with our lives. Let us leave here. And from this day forward, Lord, let us be more thankful and more God conscious and live more Christocentric than we ever have before. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Our closing hymn is in the bulletin insert. Count your blessings. And when we're done, if you'll leave the inserts that are in your bulletin in the narthex, that would be appreciated. Count your blessings.